Welcome to this edition of Shi'ar Jashub, a Bible study program brought to you by the Church Fellowship of Shi'ar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut, and featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Greg Scalzo. Hi, I'm Patty Scalzo, and in today's program, we will be continuing a sermon in my husband's series on the Book of Romans. Having presented an introduction to this epistle, Pastor Greg began the line-by-line analysis with verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. And when we left off, Pastor Greg was discussing being separated, set apart to the gospel, and he mentioned how the Pharisees received their name, which means separated ones, because they separated themselves to the study of the law. And Paul had been a Pharisee. We will go back a minute in the sermon for context. But before we do, let me remind you about our website at shi'arjashub.org. Make it your site for serious Bible study and access to hundreds of free Bible study radio programs and videos. That's shi'arjashub.org. Here is Pastor Greg Scalzo.
They were set apart to study to be scribes. Well, now here Paul is a Pharisee, but he's no longer a Pharisee of the law or a Pharisee of the oral traditions. He's a Pharisee. He's a set apart one. He's a separated one for what? The gospel of God, right? The gospel of God. But to God's gospel, this is God's euangelion. We get evangelists from it, right? Euangelion in the Greek, it means good message, good tiding, good news. This is the good news of God. It's God's message to mankind. It's God's gospel. And there is no other. There is no other good news besides the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our day, in our time, there are many people who try, the world tries to substitute other good news, other good tidings that people can place their hopes on, can live their lives by, but it's empty, it's vain, it's void, because it's only the good news of God. That's the truth. Anything else is man's imagination, man's deceptions, man's hopes based apart from God, and they lead to the abyss. This is the gospel. He's set apart, he's separated to the gospel of God. Verse 2, which he, God, promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God promised this. He promised it through his prophets. He promised it in the Holy Scriptures. Again, when Paul is before Agrippa, he talks about God's promise. Remember, he said in verse 6 of Acts chapter 26, he says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. And we talked about the Jewish hope, the promises made by Almighty God to the patriarchs. And here again, Paul is saying, God has promised this. Where has he promised it? He's promised it through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And Paul sees these scriptures as holy, as set apart, as different. The Bible is different than any other book, any other writing in history. And he says these scriptures, these holy scriptures, this old, what we call the Old Testament, this word of God. Paul, the educated Pharisee, clearly sees that God's gospel, the New Testament, is promised in the Old by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is a Jewish promise made to the Jewish forefathers. This is not a different religion. This is the fulfillment of what God promised to our forefathers. He sees Jesus Christ in the prophecies. He understands when he reads the Old Covenant, when he reads the Holy Scriptures, he sees Jesus. He sees the gospel. And he says that the promises that God made, the prophecies that he gave them, are fulfilled, testified to, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. They're the foundation of the gospel of God, the good news of God. And then he tells us the subject matter of it, which he promised. He said, I'm called to be an apostle, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, set apart to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Now, some of your translations will have Jesus Christ at the end of that sentence. Same thing. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ, concerning his son. Whose son? God's son, right? Jesus is God's son. Jesus is the promised Christ, the promised anointed one, the promised Messiah. Jesus Christ. It becomes part of his name. His title, Messiah, the anointed one, becomes part of his name now. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah, our Lord, Kyrios. He's our Lord. He's our master. And that's why we're bondservants to him. Jesus found himself in the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded to them, the disciples, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Down at verse 44, then he, Jesus, said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Concerning who? He says, concerning me, concerning Jesus. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written. Written where? In the Holy Scriptures. And thus it was necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins, the gospel, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. Jesus saw himself in the Old Testament, and Paul, his bondservant, likewise saw the gospel through the Holy Spirit opening his eyes. He saw Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And right away then in verse 3 and 4, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, some of your translations will say human nature, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Already in two verses there, we come to a great theological issue that has been debated and spoken about in early church history. This was a tremendous debate. Who is Jesus Christ? What is his nature? Is he God? Is he man? There were councils to answer that question. There were divisions in the church over it. And right away, Paul addresses it at the very beginning of this letter. And Lord willing, next time we will too. It's an important doctrinal Christian teaching. But as the time remains in preparation for that, because that's a meaty discussion. When you start to talk about the deity of Jesus and the Jesus coming in the flesh, born of the seed of David, this is weighty stuff. As preparation for it, consider something. There's an important principle. People will debate whether the Bible is a Western book or an Eastern book. You know, when you think of Western thought, when you think of Greek thought, you think of logic, outlines, formulas, frameworks, order, sequence, one thing following another in precise sequence. When you think of Eastern thought, you think of state of the mind, focusing on the important event, the essence, the spirituality, right? Now, both go very far astray. When you look at Western thought, that formula, that desire for framework and order, can lead very easily to legalism, void of the Spirit, void of the Holy Spirit, to have a whole set of rules, to have a creed, but not know the essence, the spirit behind that creed. And that was true in a lot of the Pharisaic Judaism. You look at their concepts of Messiah. They had their whole plan laid out how Messiah had to come. So when Jesus came and fulfilled the scriptures, but it wasn't in the order they had, they couldn't accept it. In Western thought, you know the Greek philosophers, you read about Athens, how they love to debate everything. In the Greek thought, they were always looking for systems.
We'll continue the message in our next broadcast. You can rehear this program and listen to hundreds of other Bible study radio programs on our church website at shiarjashub.org. We are also building quite a library of video teachings from our Sunday service live streams on YouTube. The Sunday sermon is live streamed at 10:30 a.m. and then posted on YouTube, Rumble.com, and on the church website itself for you to access at any time, day or night. Serious times require serious Bible study, and we appreciate any donation you make to Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle to keep this important scripture teaching ministry on WFIF and make the worldwide live stream and internet outreaches possible. And to this cause, we are offering a very special thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more. We will send you an autographed copy of Pastor Greg's award-winning book, The Nature and Power of Prayer, 30 Bible Lessons to Effective Prayer That Will Change Your Life. This is offer 102, and you will find a link to a secure page where you can make the donation on the church website. Again, it is offer 102, and the website is shiarjashub.org. And you can always check Isaiah 7, verse 3, for the spelling of Shiar Jashub. Please join us next time for Shiar Jashub, which in Hebrew means a remnant shall return.